Act IV of Richard III by William Shakespeare. This is a LibriVox recording. All LibriVox recordings are in the public domain. For more information or to volunteer, please visit LibriVox.org. Act IV, Scene I. London, before the Tower. Enter, on one side, Queen Elizabeth, Duchess of York, and Marquis of Dorset. On the other, Anne, Duchess of Gloucester, leading Lady Margaret Plantagenet, Clarence's young daughter.
Who meets us here? My niece Plantagenet, led in the hand of her kind aunt of Gloucester? Now for my life she's wandering to the tower, on pure heart's love to greet the tender princes. Daughter, well met.
God give your graces both a happy and a joyful time of day.
As much to you, good sister. Whither away?
No farther than the tower. And as I guess, upon the like devotion as yourselves, to gratulate the gentle princes there.
Kind sister, thanks. We'll enter all together. And in good time here the lieutenant comes.
Enter Brackenbury.
Master lieutenant, pray you, by your leave, how doth the prince, and my young son of York?
Right well, dear madam. By your patience, I may not suffer you to visit them. The king hath strictly charged the contrary.
The king? Who's that?
I mean the Lord Protector.
The Lord protect him from that kingly title. Hath he set bounds between their love and me? I am their mother. Who shall bar me from them?
I am their father's mother. I will see them.
Their aunt I am in law. In love their mother. Then bring me to their sights. I'll bear thy blame and take thy office from thee on my peril.
No, madam, no. I may not leave it so. I am bound by oath, and therefore pardon me.
Exit. Enter Stanley.
Let me but meet you, ladies, 1 hour hence, and I'll salute your Grace of York as mother and reverend looker-on of two fair queens.
To the Duchess of Gloucester.
Come, madam, you must straight to Westminster, there to be crowned Richard's royal queen.
Oh, cut my lace asunder, that my pent heart may have some scope to beat, or else I swoon with this dead-killing news.
Despiteful tidings! Oh, unpleasing news!
Be of good cheer, mother. How fares your grace?
Oh, Dorset, speak not to me. Get thee gone. Death and destruction dog thee at thy heels. Thy mother's name is ominous to children. If thou wilt outstrip death, go cross the seas, and live with Richmond from the reach of hell. Go, hie thee from this slaughter-house, lest thou increase the number of the dead, and make me die the thrall of Margaret's curse, nor mother, wife, nor England's counted queen.
Full of wise care is this your counsel, madam. Take all the swift advantage of the hours. You shall have letters from me to my son, in your behalf, to meet you on the way. Be not ta'en tardy by unwise delay.
Oh, ill-dispersing wind of misery! Oh, my accursed womb, the bed of death! A cockatrice hast thou hatched to the world, whose unavoided eye is murderous.
Come, madam, come. I in all haste was sent.
And I with all unwillingness will go. Oh, would to God that the inclusive verge of golden metal that must round my brow were red-hot steel to sear me to the brain. Anointed let me be with deadly venom, and die ere men can say, God save the queen.
Go, go, poor soul. I envy not thy glory. To feed my humour, wish thyself no harm.
No? Why? When he that is my husband now came to me, as I followed Henry's course, when scarce the blood was well washed from his hands which issued from my other angel husband, and that dear saint which then I weeping followed. Oh, when I say I looked on Richard's face, this was my wish. Be thou, quoth I, accursed for making me so young, so old a widow. And when thou wedst, let sorrow haunt thy bed, and be thy wife, if any be so mad, more miserable by the life of thee than thou hast made me by my dear lord's death. Lo, ere I can repeat this curse again, within so small a time my woman's heart grossly grew captive to his honey words, and proved the subject of mine own soul's curse, which hitherto hath held my eyes from rest. For never yet 1 hour in his bed did I enjoy the golden dew of sleep, but with his timorous dreams was still awaked. Besides, he hates me for my father Warwick, and will, no doubt, shortly be rid of me.
Poor heart, adieu. I pity thy complaining.
No more than with my soul I mourn for yours.
Farewell, thou woeful welcomer of glory.
Adieu, poor soul, that takes thy leave of it.
To Dorset.
Go thou to Richmond, and good fortune guide thee.
To Anne.
Go thou to Richard, and good angels tend thee.
To Queen Elizabeth.
Go thou to sanctuary, and good thoughts possess thee. I to my grave, where peace and rest lie with me. 80 odd years of sorrow have I seen, and each hour's joy wrecked with a week of teen.
Stay yet. Look back with me unto the tower.
Pity, you ancient stones, those tender babes, whom envy hath immured within your walls. Rough cradle for such little pretty ones. Rude, ragged nurse, old sullen playfellow for tender princes, use my babies well. So foolish sorrows bids your stones farewell.
Exeunt. Scene 2. London. A room of state in the palace. Flourish of trumpets. Richard as king upon his throne. Buckingham, Catesby, Ratcliffe, Lovell, a page, and others.
Stand all apart. Cousin of Buckingham.
My gracious sovereign.
Give me thy hand.
Ascends the throne.
Thus high, by thy advice and thy assistance, is King Richard seated. But shall we wear these glories for a day, or shall they last, and we rejoice in them?
Still live they, and forever let them last.
Ah, Buckingham, now do I play the touch, to try if thou be current gold indeed. Young Edward lives. Think now what I would speak.
Say on, my loving lord.
Why, Buckingham, I say I would be king.
Why, so you are my thrice-renowned lord.
Huh? Am I king? 'Tis so, but Edward lives.
True noble prince.
Oh, bitter consequence that Edward still should live. True noble prince. Cousin, thou wast not wont to be so dull. Shall I be plain? I wish the bastards dead, and I would have it suddenly performed. What sayest thou now? Speak suddenly, be brief.
Your grace may do your pleasure.
Tut, tut. Thou art all ice. Thy kindness freezes. Say, have I thy consent, that they shall die?
Give me some little breath, some pause, dear lord, before I positively speak in this. I will resolve your grace immediately.
Exit. Aside.
The king is angry. See, he gnaws his lip.
I will converse with iron-witted fools and unrespective boys.
Descends from his throne.
None are for me that look into me with considerate eyes. High-reaching Buckingham grows circumspect. Boy!
My lord?
Knowest thou not any whom corrupting gold will tempt unto a close exploit of death?
I know a discontented gentleman whose humble means match not his haughty spirit. Gold were as good as 20 orators, and will, no doubt, tempt him to anything.
What is his name?
His name, my lord, is Tyrell.
I partly know the man. Go, call him hither, boy.
Exit page.
The deep, revolving, witty Buckingham no more shall be the neighbour to my counsels. Hath he so long held out with me untired, and stops he now for breath? Well, be it so.
Enter Stanley.
How now, Lord Stanley? What's the news?
No, my loving lord. The Marquis Dorset, as I hear, is fled to Richmond in the parts where he abides.
Come hither, Catesbeer. Rumour it abroad that Anne, my wife, is very grievous sick. I will take order for her keeping close. Inquire me out some mean poor gentleman, whom I will marry straight to Clarence's daughter. The boy is foolish, and I fear him not. Look how thou dream'st, I say again, give out that Anne my queen is sick and like to die. About it, for it stands me much upon to stop all hopes whose growth may damage me.
Exit Catesby.
I must be married to my brother's daughter, or else my kingdom stands on brittle glass. Murder her brothers, and then marry her. Uncertain way of gain, but I am in so far in blood that sin will pluck on sin. Tear-falling pity dwells not in this eye.
Re-enter page with Tyrrell.
Is thy name Tyrrell?
James Tyrrell, and your most obedient subject.
Art thou indeed?
Prove me, my gracious lord.
Darest thou resolve to kill a friend of mine?
Please you, but I'd rather kill two enemies.
Why, then thou hast it. Two deep enemies, foes to my rest and my sweet sleep's disturbers, are they that I would have thee deal upon. Tyrrell, I mean those bastards in the tower.
Let me have open means to come to them, and soon I'll rid you from the fear of them.
Thou sing'st sweet music. Hark, come hither, Tyrrell. Go, by this token, rise, and lend thine ear.
Whispers.
There is no more but so. Say it is done, and I will love thee, and prefer thee for it.
I will dispatch it straight.
Exit. Re-enter Buckingham.
My lord, I have considered in my mind the late request that you did sound me in.
Well, let that rest. Dorset is fled to Richmond.
I hear the news, my lord.
Stanley, here's your wife's son. Well, look to it.
My lord, I claim the gift, my due by promise, for which your honour and your faith is pawned. The earldom of Hereford and the movables which you have promised I shall possess.
Stanley, look to your wife. If she convey letters to Richmond, you shall answer it.
What says your highness to my just request?
I do remember me. Henry the Sixth did prophesy that Richmond should be king, when Richmond was a little peevish boy. A king? Perhaps.
My lord!
How chance the prophet could not at that time have told me, I being by, that I should kill him?
My lord, your promise for the earldom!
Richmond. When last I was at Exeter, the mayor, in courtesy, showed me the castle and called it Rougemont. At which name I started, because a bard of Ireland told me once I should not live long after I saw Richmond.
My lord!
Aye, what's the clock?
I am thus bold to put your grace in mind of what you promised me.
Well, but what's the clock?
Upon the stroke of 10.
Well, let it strike.
Why let it strike?
Because that, like a jack, thou keep'st the stroke betwixt thy begging and my meditation. I am not in the giving vein today.
Why then, resolve me whether you will or no.
Thou troublest me. I am not in the vein.
Exeunt King Richard and Train.
And is it thus? Repays he my deep service with such contempt? Made I him king for this? Oh, let me think on Hastings and be gone to Brecknock while my fearful head is on.
Exit. Scene 3. London. Another room in the palace. Enter Tyrrell.
The tyrannous and bloody act is done. The most arch deed of piteous massacre that ever yet this land was guilty of. Dighton and Forrest, who I did suborn to do this piece of ruthless butchery, albeit they were fleshed villains, bloody dogs, melted with tenderness and mild compassion, wept like two children in their death's sad story. Oh, thus, quoth Dighton, lay the gentle babes. Thus, thus, quoth Forrest, girdling one another within their alabaster innocent arms. Their lips were four red roses on a stalk, and in their summer beauty kissed each other. A book of prayers on their pillow lay, which once, quoth Forrest, almost changed my mind. But oh, the devil! There the villain stopped, when Dighton thus told on, we smothered the most replenished sweet work of nature that from the prime creation ever she framed. Hence both are gone, with conscience and remorse they could not speak, and so I left them both to bear this tidings to the bloody king. And here he comes.
Enter King Richard.
All health, my sovereign lord.
Kind Tyrrell, am I happy in thy news?
If to have done the thing you gave in charge beget your happiness, be happy then, for it is done.
But didst thou see them dead?
I did, my lord.
And buried, gentle Tyrrell?
The chaplain of the tower hath buried them, but to where, to say the truth, I do not know.
Come to me, Tyrrell, soon, at after supper, when thou shalt tell the process of their death. Meantime, but think how I may do thee good, and be inheritor of thy desire. Farewell, till then.
I humbly take my leave.
Exit.
The son of Clarence have I pent up close, his daughter meanly have I matched in marriage, the sons of Edward sleep in Abraham's bosom, and Anne, my wife, hath bid the world good night. Now, for I know the Breton Richmond aims at young Elizabeth, my brother's daughter, and by that knot looks proudly on the crown, to her go I, a jolly, thriving wooer.
Enter Ratcliffe.
My lord.
Good or bad news that comes in so bluntly?
Bad news, my lord. Morton is fled to Richmond, and Buckingham, backed with a hardy Welshman, is in the field, and still his power increaseth.
Ely with Richmond troubles me more near than Buckingham and his rash levied strength. Come, I have learned that fearful commenting is leaden servitor to dull delay. Delay leads impotent and snail-paced beggary. Then fiery expedition be my wing, Jove's Mercury, and herald for a king. Go, muster men, my counsel is my shield. We must be brief when traitors brave the field.
Exeunt. Scene 4. London. Before the palace. Enter Queen Margaret.
So now prosperity begins to mellow and drop into the rotten mouths of death. Here in these confines slyly have I lurked to watch the waning of mine enemies. A dire induction am I witness to, and will to France, hoping the consequence will prove as bitter, black, and tragical. Withdraw thee, wretched Margaret. Who comes here?
Retires. Enter Queen Elizabeth and the Duchess of York.
Oh, my poor princes! Ah, my tender babes! My unblown flowers, new-appearing sweets! If yet your gentle souls fly in the air and be not fixed in doom perpetual, hover about me with your airy wings! And hear your mother's lamentation.
Hover about her. Say that right for right hath dimmed your infant morn to aged night.
So many miseries have crazed my voice that my woe-wearied tongue is still and mute. Edward Plantagenet, why art thou dead?
Plantagenet doth quit Plantagenet. Edward for Edward pays a dying debt.
Wilt thou, O God, fly from such gentle lambs and throw them in the entrails of the wolf? When didst thou sleep when such a deed was done?
When holy Harry died and my sweet son.
Dead life, blind sight, poor mortal living ghost, woes seen, world's shame, graves due by life usurped, brief abstract and record of tedious days, rest thy unrest on England's lawful earth, unlawfully made drunk with innocent blood.
Sitting down.
Ah, oh, that thou wouldst as soon afford a grave as thou canst yield a melancholy seat. Then would I hide my bones, not rest them here. Ah, who hath any cause to mourn but we?
Sitting down by her. Coming forward.
If ancient sorrow be most reverent, give mine the benefit of seniory, and let my griefs frown on the upper hand.
Sitting down with them.
If sorrow can admit society, tell o'er your woes again by viewing mine. I had an Edward till a Richard killed him. I had a Henry till a Richard killed him. Thou hadst an Edward till a Richard killed him. Thou hadst a Richard till a Richard killed him.
I had a Richard too, and thou didst kill him. I had a Rutland too, thou hopest to kill him.
Thou hadst a Clarence too, and Richard killed him. From forth the kennel of thy womb hath crept a hellhound that doth hunt us all to death. That dog that had his teeth before his eyes to worry lambs and lap their gentle blood. That foul defacer of God's handiwork, that excellent grand tyrant of the earth that reigns in galled eyes of weeping souls, thy womb let loose to chase us to our graves. O upright, just, and true-disposing God, how do I thank thee that this carnal cur preys on the issue of his mother's body, and makes her pew-fellow with others moan?
O Harry's wife, triumph not in my woes. God witness with me, I have wept for thine.
Bear with me. I am hungry for revenge, and now I cloy me with beholding it. Thy Edward, he is dead that killed my Edward. The other Edward dead to quit my Edward. Young York, he is but boot, because both they match not the high perfection of my loss. Thy Clarence, he is dead that stabbed my Edward. And the beholders of this frantic play, the adulterate Hastings, Rivers, Vaughan, Grey, untimely smothered in their dusky graves. Richard yet lives, hell's black intelligence, only reserved their factor to buy souls and send them thither. But at hand ensues his piteous and unpitied end. Earth gapes, hell burns, fiends roar, saints pray to have him suddenly conveyed from hence. Cancel his bond of life, dear God, I pray, that I may live to say the dog is dead.
Though thou didst prophesy the time would come that I should wish for thee to help me curse that bottled spider, that foul bunch-backed toad.
I called thee then vain flourish of my fortune. I called thee then poor shadow, painted queen. The presentation of but what I was, the flattering index of a direful pageant, one heaved high to be hurled down below, a mother only mocked with two fair babes. A dream of what thou wast, a garish flag to be the aim of every dangerous shot, a sign of dignity, a breath, a bubble, a queen in jest only to fill the scene. Where is thy husband now? Where be thy brothers? Where be thy two sons? Wherein dost thou joy? Who sues and kneels and says, God save the queen? Where be the bending peers that flattered thee? Where be the thronging troops that followed thee? Decline all this, and see what now thou art. For happy wife, a most distressed widow. For joyful mother, one that wails the name. For one being sued to, one that humbly sues. For queen, a very caitiff crowned with care. For she that scorned at me, now scorned of me. For she being feared of all, now fearing one. For she commanding all, obeyed of none. Thus hath the course of justice wheeled about and left thee but a very prey to time. Having no more but thought of what thou wast, to torture thee the more, being what thou art. Thou didst usurp my place, and dost thou not usurp the just proportion of my sorrow? Now thy proud neck bears half my burdened yoke, from which even here I slip my weary head, and leave the burden of it all on thee. Farewell, York's wife and queen of sad mischance. These English woes shall make me smile in France.
Oh, thou well-skilled in curses, stay a while, and teach me how to curse mine enemies.
Forbear to sleep the night and fast the day. Compare dead happiness with living woe. Think that thy babes were sweeter than they were, and he that slew them fouler than he is. Bettering thy loss makes the bad cause a worse. Revolving this will teach thee how to curse.
My words are dull. Oh, quicken them with thine.
Thy woes will make them sharp and pierce like mine.
Exit.
Why should calamity be full of words?
Windy attorneys to their client woes, airy succeeders of intestate joys, poor breathing orators of miseries, let them have scope. Though what they do impart help nothing else, yet do they ease the heart.
If so, then be not tongue-tied. Go with me, and in the breath of bitter words let smother my damned son that thy two sweet sons smothered.
Drum within.
I hear his drum. Be copious in exclaims.
Enter King Richard and his train, marching.
Who intercepts me in my expedition?
Oh, she that might have intercepted thee by strangling thee in her accursed womb from all the slaughters, wretch, that thou hast done.
Hidest thou that forehead with a golden crown, where should be branded, if that right were right, the slaughter of the prince that owed that crown, and the dire death of my poor sons and brothers? Tell me, thou villain slave, where are my children?
Thou toad, where is thy brother Clarence, and little Ned Plantagenet his son?
Where is the gentle Rivers, Vaughan, Grey?
Where is kind Hastings?
A flourish, trumpets! Strike alarum, drums! Let not the heavens hear these tell-tale women rail on the Lord's anointed! Strike, I say!
Flourish. Alarums.
Either be patient and entreat me fair, or with the clamorous report of war thus will I drown your exclamations.
Art thou my son?
Aye, I thank God, my father and yourself.
Then patiently hear my impatience.
Madam, I have a touch of your condition that cannot brook the accent of reproof.
Oh, let me speak.
Do then, but I'll not hear.
I will be mild and gentle in my words.
And brief, good mother, for I am in haste.
Art thou so hasty? I have stayed for thee, God knows, in torment and in agony.
And came I not at last to comfort you?
No, by the holy rood, thou know'st it well. Thou cam'st on earth to make the earth my hell. A grievous burden was thy birth to me, tetchy and wayward was thy infancy, thy school-days frightful, desperate, wild, and furious, thy prime of manhood daring, bold, and venturous, thy age confirmed, proud, subtle, sly, and bloody, more mild, but yet more harmful, kind in hatred. What comfortable hour canst thou name that ever graced me with thy company?
Faith, none but Humphrey hour that called your grace to breakfast once forth of my company. If I be so disgracious in your eye, let me march on and not offend you, madam. Strike up the drum.
I prithee, hear me speak.
You speak too bitterly.
Hear me a word, for I shall never speak to thee again.
So?
Either thou wilt die by God's just ordinance, ere from this war thou turn a conqueror, or I, with grief and extreme age, shall perish, and never more behold thy face again. Therefore take with thee my most grievous curse, which in the day of battle tire thee more than all the complete armour that thou wearest. My prayers on the adverse party fight, and there the little souls of Edward's children whisper the spirits of thine enemies, and promise them success and victory. Bloody thou art, bloody will be thy end. Shame serves thy life, and doth thy death attend.
Exit.
Though far more cause, yet much less spirit to curse abides in me. I say amen to her.
Going.
Stay, madam. I must talk a word with you.
I have no more sons of the royal blood for thee to slaughter.
For my daughters, Richard, they shall be praying nuns, not weeping queens, and therefore level not to hit their lives.
You have a daughter called Elizabeth. Virtuous and fair? Royal and gracious?
And must she die for this? Oh, let her live, and I'll corrupt her manners, stain her beauty, slander myself as false to Edward's bed, throw over her the veil of infamy, so she may live unscarred of bleeding slaughter. I will confess she was not Edward's daughter.
Wrong not her birth. She is of royal blood.
To save her life, I'll say she is not so.
Her life is safest only in her birth.
And only in that safety died her brothers.
Lo, at their births good stars were opposite.
No, to their lives bad friends were contrary.
All unavoided is the doom of destiny.
Oh, true, when avoided grace makes destiny. My babes were destined to a fairer death if grace had blessed thee with a fairer life.
You speak as if that I had slain my cousins.
Cousins, indeed! And by their uncle cousined of comfort, kingdom, kindred, freedom, life. Whose hand soever lanced their tender hearts, thy head all indirectly gave direction. No doubt the murderous knife was dull and blunt till it was whetted on thy stone-hard heart to revel in the entrails of my lambs. But that still use of grief makes wild grief tame. My tongue should to thy ears not name my boys till that my nails were anchored in thine eyes. And I in such a desperate bay of death, like a poor bark of sails and tackling reft, rush all to pieces on thy rocky bosom.
Madam, so thrive I in my enterprise and dangerous success of bloody wars, as I intend more good to you and yours than ever you or yours by me were harmed.
What good is covered with the face of heaven to be discovered that can do me good?
Advancement of your children, gentle lady.
Up to some scaffold there to lose their heads.
Unto the dignity and height of honour, the high imperial type of this earth's glory.
Flatter my sorrows with report of it. Tell me, what state, what dignity, what honour canst thou demise to any child of mine?
Even all I have. I and myself, and all will I withal endow a child of thine. So in the Lethe of thy angry soul thou drown the sad remembrance of those wrongs which thou supposest I have done to thee.
Be brief, lest that the process of thy kindness last longer telling than thy kindness date.
Then know that from my soul I love thy daughter.
Oh, my daughter's mother thinks it with her soul.
What do you think?
That thou dost love my daughter from thy soul. So from thy soul's love didst thou love her brothers, and from my heart's love I do thank thee for it.
Be not so hasty to confound my meaning. I mean that with my soul I love thy daughter, and do intend to make her Queen of England.
Well, then, who dost thou mean shall be her king?
Even he that makes her queen, who else should be?
What? Thou?
I, even I. What think you of it, madam?
How canst thou woo her?
That would I learn of you, as one being best acquainted with her humour.
And wilt thou learn of me?
Madam, with all my heart.
Send to her, by the man that slew her brothers, a pair of bleeding hearts, thereon engrave Edward and York. Then haply will she weep. Therefore present to her, as sometimes Margaret did to thy father, steeped in Rutland's blood, a handkerchief, which, say to her, did drain the purple sap from her sweet brothers' bodies, and bid her wipe her weeping eyes withal. If this inducement move her not to love, send her a letter of thy noble deeds. Tell her thou mad'st away her uncle Clarence, her uncle Rivers. Aye, and for her sake mad'st quick conveyance with her good aunt Anne.
You mock me, madam. This is not the way to win your daughter.
There is no other way, unless thou couldst put on some other shape, and not be Richard that hath done all this.
Say that I did all this for love of her.
Nay, then indeed she cannot choose but hate thee, having bought love with such a bloody spoil.
Look, what is done cannot be now amended. Men shall deal unadvisedly sometimes, which after hours gives leisure to repent. If I did take the kingdom from your sons, to make amends, I'll give it to your daughter. If I have killed the issue of your womb, to quicken your increase, I will beget mine issue of your blood upon your daughter. A grandam's name is little less in love than is the doting title of a mother. They are as children but one step below. Even of your metal, of your very blood, of all one pain, save for a night of groans endured of her for whom you bid like sorrow. Your children were vexation to your youth, but mine shall be a comfort to your age. The loss you have is but a son being king, and by that loss your daughter is made queen. I cannot make you what amends I would, therefore accept such kindness as I can. Dorset, your son, that with a fearful soul leads discontented steps in foreign soil, this fair alliance quickly shall call home to high promotions and great dignity. The king, that calls your beauteous daughter wife, familiarly shall call thy Dorset brother. Again you shall be mother to a king, and all the ruins of distressful times repaired with double riches of content. What, we have many goodly days to see. The liquid drops of tears that you have shed shall come again transformed to orient pearl, advantaging their loan with interest of 10 times double gain of happiness. Go then, my mother, to thy daughter go. Make bold her bashful years with your experience. Prepare her ears to hear a wooer's tale. Put in her tender heart the aspiring flame of golden sovereignty. Acquaint the princess with these sweet silent hours of marriage joys. And when this arm of mine hath chastised the petty rebel dull-brained Buckingham, bound with triumphant garlands will I come, and lead thy daughter to a conqueror's bed, to whom I will retail my conquest won, and she shall be sole victoress, Caesar's Caesar.
What were I best to say? Her father's brother would be her lord, or shall I say her uncle, or he that slew her brothers and her uncles? Under what title shall I woo for thee, that God, the law, my honour, and her love can make seem pleasing to her tender years?
Infer fair England's peace by this alliance.
Which she shall purchase with still-lasting war.
Tell her the king that may command entreats.
That at her hands which the king's king forbids.
Say she shall be a high and mighty queen.
To wail the title as her mother doth.
Say I will love her everlastingly.
But how long shall that title ever last?
Sweetly enforce unto her fair life's end.
But how long fairly shall her sweet life last?
As long as heaven and nature lengthens it.
As long as hell and Richard likes of it.
Say I, her sovereign, am her subject low.
But she, your subject, loathe such sovereignty.
Be eloquent in my behalf to her.
An honest tale speeds best being plainly told.
Then plainly to her tell my loving tale.
Plain and not honest is too harsh a style.
Your reasons are too shallow and too quick.
Oh, no, my reasons are too deep and dead. Too deep and dead, poor infants in their graves.
Harp not on that string, madam, that is past.
Harp on it still shall I, till heartstrings break.
Now by my George, my garter, and my crown.
Profaned, dishonoured, and the third usurped.
I swear.
By nothing, for this is no oath. Thy George, profaned, hath lost his lordly honour. Thy garter blemished, pawned his knightly virtue. Thy crown usurped, disgraced his kingly glory. If something thou wouldst swear to be believed, swear then by something that thou hast not wronged.
Now by the world.
'Tis full of thy foul wrongs.
My father's death.
Thy life hath that dishonoured.
Then by myself.
Thyself is self misused.
Why then by God.
God's wrong is most of all. If thou hadst feared to break an oath by him, the unity the king thy brother made had not been broken, nor my brother slain. If thou hadst feared to break an oath by him, the imperial metal circling now thy head had graced the tender temples of my child, and both the princes had been breathing here,
which now two tender bedfellows for dust thy broken faith had made a prey for worms. What canst thou swear by now?
The time to come.
That thou hast wronged in the time or past. For I myself have many tears to wash hereafter time, for time past wronged by thee. The children live whose fathers thou hast slaughtered, ungoverned youth to wail it in their age. The parents live whose children thou hast butchered, old barren plants to wail it with their age. Swear not by time to come, for that thou hast misused ere used by times ill-used or past.
As I intend to prosper and repent, so thrive I in my dangerous attempt of hostile arms. Myself confound, heaven and fortune bar me happy hours. Day, yield me not thy light, nor night thy rest. Be opposite all planets of good luck to my proceeding. If with pure heart's love, immaculate devotion, holy thoughts, I tender not thy beauteous princely daughter. In her consists my happiness and thine. Without her follows to thyself and thee, herself, the land, and many a Christian soul, death, desolation, ruin, and decay. It cannot be avoided but by this. It will not be avoided but by this. Therefore, dear mother, I must call you so. Be the attorney of my love to her. Plead what I will be, not what I have been. Not my deserts, but what I will deserve. Urge the necessity and state of times, and be not peevish found in great designs.
Shall I be tempted of the devil thus?
Aye! If the devil tempt you to do good,
shall I forget myself to be myself?
Aye, if yourself's remembrance wrong yourself.
Yet thou didst kill my children.
But in your daughter's womb I bury them, where, in that nest of spicery, they shall breed selves of themselves to your recomfiture.
Shall I go win my daughter to thy will?
And be a happy mother by the deed.
I go. Write to me very shortly, and you shall understand from me her mind.
Bear her my true love's kiss, and so, farewell.
Kissing her, exit Queen Elizabeth.
Relenting fool and shallow changing woman.
Enter Ratcliffe, Catesby following.
How now? What news?
Most mighty sovereign, on the western coast rideth a puissant navy. To the shore throng many doubtful, hollow-hearted friends, unarmed and unresolved to beat them back. 'Tis thought that Richmond is their admiral, and there they hull, expecting but the aid of Buckingham to welcome them ashore.
Some Lightfoot friend post to the Duke of Norfolk. Ratcliffe, thyself, or Catesby, where is he?
Here, my good lord.
Catesby, fly to the Duke.
I will, my lord, with all convenient haste.
Ratcliffe, come hither. Post to Salisbury. When thou comest thither...
To Catesby.
Dull unmindful villain, why stayst thou here and goest not to the Duke?
First, mighty liege, tell me your highness' pleasure what from your grace I shall deliver to him.
Oh, true, good Catesby. Bid him levy straight the greatest strength and power that he can make and meet me suddenly at Salisbury.
I go.
Exit.
What may it please you shall I do at Salisbury?
Why, what wouldst thou do there before I go?
Your highness told me I should post before.
Enter Stanley.
My mind is changed. Stanley, what news with you?
None good, my liege, to please you with the hearing. But none so bad, but well may be reported.
Hoy day, a riddle, neither good nor bad. What needst thou run so many miles about when thou mayst tell thy tale the nearest way? Once more, what news?
Richmond is on the seas.
There let him sink, and be the seas on him. White-livered runagate, what doth he there?
I know not, mighty sovereign, but by guess.
Well, as you guess.
Stirred up by Dorset, Buckingham, and Morton, he makes for England here to claim the crown.
Is the chair empty? Is the sword unswayed? Is the king dead? The empire unpossessed? What heir of York is there alive but we? And who is England's king but great York's heir? Then tell me, what makes he upon the seas?
Unless for that, my liege, I cannot guess.
Unless for that he comes to be your liege, you cannot guess wherefore the Welshman comes. Thou wilt revolt and fly to him, I fear.
No, mighty liege, therefore mistrust me not.
Where is thy power, then, to beat him back? Where be thy tenants and thy followers? Are they not now upon the western shore, safe conducting the rebels from their ships?
No, my good lord, my friends are in the north.
Cold friends to me? What do they in the north when they should serve their sovereign in the west?
They have not been commanded, mighty king. Pleaseth your majesty to give me leave, I'll muster up my friends, and meet your grace where and what time your majesty shall please.
Aye, aye, thou wouldst be gone, to join with Richmond, but I'll not trust thee.
Most mighty sovereign, you have no cause to hold my friendship doubtful. I never was, nor never will be false.
Go then, and muster men, but leave behind your son, George Stanley. Look your heart be firm, or else his head's assurance is but frail.
So deal with him as I prove true to you.
Exit. Enter a messenger.
My gracious sovereign, now in Devonshire, as I by friends am well advertised, Sir Edward Courtney and the haughty prelate, Bishop of Exeter, his elder brother, with many more confederates, are in arms.
Enter a second messenger.
In Kent, my liege, the Guilfords are in arms, and every hour more competitors flock to the rebels, and their power grows strong.
Enter a third messenger.
My lord, the army of Great Buckingham.
Out on you, owls! Nothing but songs of death!
He strikes him.
There! Take thou that till thou bring better news.
The news I have to tell, your majesty, is that by sudden floods and fall of waters, Buckingham's army is dispersed and scattered, and he himself wandered away alone, no man knows whither.
I cry you mercy. There is my purse to cure that blow of thine. Hath any well-advised friend proclaimed reward to him that brings the traitor in?
Such proclamation hath been made, my liege.
Enter a fourth messenger.
Sir Thomas Lovell and Lord Marquis Dorset, 'tis said, my liege, in Yorkshire are in arms. But this good comfort bring I to your highness. The Britain navy is dispersed by tempest. Richmond in Dorsetshire sent out a boat unto the shore to ask those on the banks if they were his assistants, yea or no, who answered him they came from Buckingham upon his party. He, mistrusting them, hoist sail and made his course again for Britain.
March on, since we are up in arms, if not to fight with foreign enemies, yet to beat down these rebels here at home.
Re-enter Catesby.
My liege, the Duke of Buckingham is taken. That's the best news, that the Earl of Richmond is with a mighty power landed at Milford. Is colder tidings, yet they must be told.
Away towards Salisbury. While we reason here, a royal battle might be won and lost. Someone take order Buckingham be brought to Salisbury. The rest, march on with me.
Flourish. Exeunt. Scene 5. A room in Lord Stanley's house. Enter Stanley and Sir Christopher Urswick.
Sir Christopher, tell Richmond this from me, that in the sty of the most deadly boar my son George Stanley is franked up in hold. If I revolt, off goes young George's head. The fear of that holds off my present aid. So get thee gone, commend me to thy lord. Withal say that the queen hath heartily consented he should espouse Elizabeth her daughter. But tell me, where is princely Richmond now?
At Pembroke, or at Harford West in Wales.
What men of name resort to him?
Sir Walter Herbert, a renowned soldier, Sir Gilbert Talbot, Sir William Stanley, Oxford, redoubted Pembroke Sir James Blunt, and Rice Ap Thomas, with a valiant crew, and many other of great name and worth. And toward London do they bend their power, if by the way they be not fought withal.
Well, hide thee to thy lord. I kiss his hand. My letter will resolve him of my mind. Farewell.
Gives papers to Sir Christopher. Exeunt. End of Act 4. Act 5 of Richard III by William Shakespeare. This is a LibriVox recording. All LibriVox recordings are in the public domain. For more information or to volunteer, please visit LibriVox.org. Act 5, Scene 1. Salisbury, an open place. Enter the sheriff and guard with Buckingham, led to execution.
Will not King Richard let me speak with him?
No, my good lord. Therefore be patient.
Hastings and Edward's children, Grey and Rivers, holy King Henry and thy fair son Edward, Vaughan, and all that have miscarried by underhand, corrupted, foul injustice, if that your moody, discontented souls do through the clouds behold this present hour, even for revenge, mock my destruction. This is All Souls' Day, fellow, is it not?
It is, my lord.
Why then, All Souls' Day is my body's doomsday. This is the day which in King Edward's time I wished might fall on me, when I was found false to his children and his wife's allies. This is the day wherein I wished to fall by the false faith of him whom I most trusted. This All Souls' Day to my fearful soul is the determined respite of my wrongs. That high all-seer which I dallied with hath turned my feigned prayer on my head, and given in earnest what I begged in jest. Thus doth he force the swords of wicked men to turn their own points in their master's bosoms. Thus Margaret's curse falls heavy on my neck. When he, quoth she, shall split thy heart with sorrow, remember Margaret was a prophetess. Come, lead me, officers, to the block of shame. Wrong hath but wrong, and blame, the due of blame.
Exeunt. Scene 2. Plain near Tamworth. Enter with Drummond colours, Richmond, Oxford, Sir James Blunt, Sir Walter Herbert, and others, with forces marching.
Fellows in arms, and my most loving friends, bruised underneath the yoke of tyranny, thus far into the bowels of the land have we marched on without impediment, and here receive we from our father Stanley lines of fair comfort and encouragement. The wretched, bloody, and usurping boar that spoiled your summer fields and fruitful vines swills your warm blood like wash, and makes his trough in your embowelled bosoms. This foul swine lies now even in the centre of this isle, near to the town of Leicester, as we learn. From Tamworth thither is but one day's march. In God's name, cheerly on, courageous friends, to reap the harvest of perpetual peace by this one bloody trial of sharp war.
Every man's conscience is 1,000 swords to fight against that bloody homicide.
I doubt not but his friends will turn to us.
He hath no friends but what are friends for fear, which in his dearest need will fly from him.
All for our vantage. Then in God's name, march. True hope is swift and flies with swallow's wings. Kings it makes gods, and meaner creatures kings.
Exeunt. Scene 3. Bosworth Field. Enter King Richard and forces. The Duke of Norfolk, the Earl of Surrey, and others.
Here pitch our tents, even here in Bosworth Field. My Lord of Surrey, why look you so sad?
My heart is 10 times lighter than my looks.
My Lord of Norfolk.
Here, most gracious liege.
Norfolk, we must have Knox, eh? Must we not?
We must both give and take, my loving lord.
Up with my tent! Here will I lie tonight.
Soldiers begin to set up the king's tent.
But where tomorrow? Well, all's one for that. Who hath descried the number of the traitors?
6,000 or 7,000 is their utmost power.
Why, our battalia trebles that account. Besides, the king's name is a tower of strength which they, upon the adverse faction, want. Up with the tent! Come, noble gentlemen, let us survey the vantage of the ground. Call for some men of sound direction. Let's lack no discipline, make no delay, for the lords, tomorrow is a busy day.
Exeunt. Enter, on the other side of the field, Richmond, Sir William Brandon, Oxford, and other lords. Some of the soldiers pitch Richmond's tent.
The weary sun hath made a golden set, and by the bright tract of his fiery car gives token of a goodly day tomorrow. Sir William Brandon, you shall bear my standard. Give me some ink and paper in my tent. I'll draw the form and model of our battle, limit each leader to his several charge, and part in just proportion our small power. My Lord of Oxford, you, Sir William Brandon, And you, Sir Walter Herbert, stay with me. The Earl of Pembroke keeps his regiment. Good Captain Blunt, bear my good night to him, and by the second hour in the morning desire the Earl to see me in my tent. Yet one thing more, good Captain, do for me. Where is Lord Stanley quartered, do you know?
Unless I have mistaken his colours much, which well I am assured I have not done, his regiment lies half a mile at least, south from the mighty power of the king.
If without peril it be possible, sweet Blunt, make some good means to speak with him, and give him from me this most needful note.
Upon my life, my lord, I'll undertake it. And so, God give you quiet rest to-night.
Good night, good Captain Blunt. Come, gentlemen, let us consult upon to-morrow's business. Into my tent. The air is raw and cold.
David drew into the tent. Enter to his tent King Richard, Norfolk, Ratcliffe, and Catesby.
What is the clock?
It's supper time, my lord. It's 6 o'clock.
I will not sup tonight. Give me some ink and paper. What? Is my beaver easier than it was, and all my arbour laid into my tent?
It is, my liege, and all things are in readiness.
Good Norfolk, hie thee to thy charge. Use careful watch. Choose trusty sentinels.
I go, my lord.
Stir with the lark tomorrow, gentle Norfolk.
I warrant you, my lord.
Exit.
Ratcliffe.
My lord.
Send out a pursuivant at arms to Stanley's regiment. Bid him bring his power before sunrising, lest his son George fall into the blind cave of eternal night. Fill me a bowl of wine. Give me a watch. Saddle White Surrey for the field tomorrow. Look that my staves be sound and not too heavy. Ratcliffe.
My lord.
Sawest thou the melancholy Lord Northumberland?
Thomas of Earl of Surrey and himself, much about cockshut time, from troop to troop, went through the army, cheering up the soldiers.
So, I am satisfied. Give me a bowl of wine! I have not that alacrity of spirit nor cheer of mind that I was wont to have. Set it down! Is ink and paper ready?
It is, my lord.
Bid my guard watch. Lead me. Ratcliffe, about the mid of night, come to my tent and help to arm me. Leave me, I say.
King Richard retires into his tent. Exeunt Ratcliffe and Catesby. Richmond's tent opens, and discovers him and his officers, etc.
Fortune and victory sit on thy helm.
All comfort that the dark night can afford be to thy person, noble father-in-law. Tell me, how fares our loving mother?
I, by attorney, bless thee from thy mother, who prays continually for Richmond's good. So much for that. The silent hours steal on, and flaky darkness breaks within the east. In brief, for so the season bids us be, prepare thy battle early in the morning, and put thy fortune to the arbitrament of bloody strokes and mortal staring war. I, as I may, that which I would I cannot. With best advantage will deceive the time, and aid thee in this doubtful stroke of arms. But on thy side I may not be too forward, lest, being seen, thy brother, tender George, be executed in his father's sight. Farewell, the leisure and the fearful time cuts off the ceremonious vows of love, an ample interchange of sweet discourse, which so long sundered friends should dwell upon. God give us leisure for these rites of love. Once more, adieu. Be valiant, and speed well.
Good lords, conduct him to his regiment. I'll strive with troubled thoughts to take a nap, lest leaden slumber pies me down to-morrow when I should mount with wings of victory. Once more, good night, kind lords and gentlemen.
Exeunt lords, etc., with Stanley.
O thou, whose captain I account myself, look on my forces with a gracious eye. Put in their hands thy bruising irons of wrath, that they may crush down with a heavy fall the usurping helmets of our adversaries. Make us thy ministers of chastisement, that we may praise thee in thy victory. To thee I do commend my watchful soul, ere I let fall the windows of mine eyes. Sleeping and waking, oh, defend me still.
Sleeps. The ghost of Prince Edward, son to Henry the Sixth, rises between the two tents. To King Richard.
Let me sit heavy on thy soul to-morrow. Think how thou stabbedst me in my prime of youth. At Tewkesbury, despair therefore and die.
to Richmond.
Be cheerful, Richmond, for the wronged souls of battered princes fight in thy behalf. King Henry's issue, Richmond, comforts thee.
The ghost of Henry the Sixth rises. To King Richard.
When I was mortal, my anointed body by thee was punched full of deadly holes. Think on the tower and me, despair and die. Harry the Sixth bids thee despair and die.
To Richmond.
Virtuous and holy be thou, conqueror. Harry, the prophecy thou shouldst be king, doth comfort thee in thy sleep. Live and flourish.
The ghost of Clarence rises. To King Richard.
Let me sit heavy in thy soul tomorrow, I that was washed to death with fulsome wine, poor Clarence, by thy guile betrayed to death. Tomorrow in the battle think on me, and fall thy edgeless sword, despair, and die.
To Richmond.
Thou offspring of the house of Lancaster, the wronged heirs of York do pray for thee. Good angels guard thy battle. Live and flourish.
The ghosts of Rivers, Grey, and Vaughan rise. To King Richard.
Let me sit heavy in thy soul tomorrow. Rivers that died at Pomfret, despair and die.
Think upon Grey, and let thy soul despair.
Think upon Vaughan, and with guilty fear, let fall thy lance, despair and die.
To Richmond.
Awake and think our wrongs in Richard's bosom. We'll conquer him. Awake and win the day.
The ghost of Hastings rises. To King Richard.
Bloody and guilty, guiltily awake, and in a bloody battle end thy days. Think on Lord Hastings. Despair and die.
To Richmond.
Quiet, untroubled so. Awake, awake! Arm, fight, and conquer for fair England's sake.
The ghosts of the two young princes rise. To King Richard.
Dream on thy cousins smothered in the tower. Let us be led within thy bosom, Richard, and weigh thee down to ruin, shame, and death. Thy nephew's souls bid thee despair and die.
To Richmond.
Sleep, Richmond, sleep in peace and wake in joy. Good angels guard thee from the boar's annoy. Live and beget a happy race of kings. Edward's unhappy sons do bid thee flourish.
The ghost of Queen Anne rises. To King Richard.
Richard, thy wife, that wretched Anne, thy wife, that never slept a quiet hour with thee, now fills thy sleep with perturbations. Tomorrow in the battle think on me, and fall thy edgeless sword, despair and die.
To Richmond.
Thou quiet soul, sleep thou a quiet sleep. Dream of success and happy victory. Thy adversary's wife doth pray for thee.
The ghost of Buckingham rises. To King Richard.
The first was I that helped thee to the crown. The last was I that felt thy tyranny. Oh, in the battle think on Buckingham and die in terror of thy guiltiness. Dream on of bloody deeds and death. Fainting despair, despairing, yield thy breath.
To Richmond.
I died for hope ere I could send thee aid. But cheer thy heart, and be thou not dismayed. God and good angels fight on Richmond's side, and Richard falls in height of all his pride.
The ghosts vanish. King Richard starts out of his dream.
Give me another horse. Bind up my wounds. Have mercy, Jesu. Soft. I did but dream. O coward conscience, how dost thou afflict me? The lights burn blue. It is now dead midnight. Cold, fearful drops stand on my trembling flesh. What? Do I fear myself? There's none else by. Richard loves Richard. That is, I am I. Is there a murderer here? No. Yes. I am. Then fly. What? From myself? Great reason why. Lest I revenge. What?
Myself upon myself? Alack, I love myself. Wherefore? For any good that I myself have done unto myself? Oh, no, alas, I rather hate myself for hateful deeds committed by myself. I am a villain, yet I lie, I am not. Fool, of thyself speak well. Fool, do not flatter. My conscience hath 1,000 several tongues, and every tongue brings in a several tale, and every tale condemns me for a villain. Perjury, perjury in the highest degree, murder, stern murder in the direst degree, all several sins, all used in each degree, throng to the bar, crying all guilty, guilty. I shall despair. There is no creature loves me. And if I die, no soul will pity me. And wherefore should they, since that I myself find in myself no pity to myself? Methought the souls of all that I had murdered came to my tent, and every one did threat tomorrow's vengeance on the head of Richard.
Enter Ratcliffe.
My lord.
Who's there?
Ratcliffe, my lord, it is I. The early village cock hath twice done salutation to the morn. Your friends are up, and buckle on their armour.
Oh, Ratcliffe, I have dreamed a fearful dream. What think'st thou? Will our friends prove all true?
No doubt, my lord.
Oh, Ratcliffe, I fear, I fear!
Nay, good my lord, be not afraid of shadows.
By the Apostle Paul, shadows tonight have struck more terror to the soul of Richard than can the substance of 10,000 soldiers armoured in proof and led by shallow Richmond. It is not yet near day. Come, go with me. Under our tents I'll play the eavesdropper to see if any mean to shrink from me.
Exeunt King Richard and Ratcliffe. Richmond wakes. Enter Oxford and others.
Good morrow, Richmond.
Cry mercy, lords and watchful gentlemen, that you have taken a tardy sluggard here.
How have you slept, my lord?
The sweetest sleep and fairest boding dreams that ever entered in a drowsy head have I since your departure had, my lords. Methought their souls whose bodies Richard murdered came to my tent and cried on victory. I promise you, my heart is very jocund in the remembrance of so fair a dream. How far into the morning is it, lords?
Upon the stroke of four.
Why, then, 'tis time to arm and give direction.
He advances to the troops.
More than I have said, loving countrymen, the leisure and enforcement of the time forbids to dwell on. Yet remember this. God and our good cause fight upon our side. The prayers of holy saints and wronged souls, like high-reared bulwarks, stand before our faces. Richard, accept. Those whom we fight against had rather have us win than him they follow. But what is he they follow? Truly, gentlemen, a bloody tyrant and a homicide. One raised in blood, and one in blood established. One that made means to come by what he hath, and slaughtered those that were the means to help him. A base foul stone, made precious by the foil of England's chair, where he is falsely set. One that hath ever been God's enemy. Then, if you fight against God's enemy, God will, in justice, ward you as his soldiers. If you do sweat to put a tyrant down, you sleep in peace, the tyrant being slain. If you do fight against your country's foes, your country's fat shall pay your pains the higher. If you do fight in safeguard of your wives shall welcome home the conquerors. If you do free your children from the sword, your children's children quit it in your age. Then, in the name of God and all these rights, advance your standards, draw your willing swords. For me, the ransom of my bold attempt shall be this cold corpse on the earth's cold face. But if I thrive, the gain of my attempt, the least of you shall share his part thereof. Sound drums and trumpets boldly and cheerfully. God and St. George, Richmond and victory!
Exeunt. Re-enter King Richard, Ratcliffe, attendants, and forces.
What said Northumberland as touching Richmond?
That he was never trained up in arms.
He said the truth. And what said Surrey then?
He smiled and said, the better for our purpose.
He was in the right, and so indeed it is.
Clock strikes.
Tell the clock there. Give me a calendar. Who saw the sun today?
Not I, my lord.
Then he disdains to shine. For by the book he should have braved the east an hour ago. A black day will it be to somebody. Ratcliffe!
My lord?
The sun will not be seen today. The sky doth frown and lower upon our army. I would these dewy tears were from the ground. Not shine today? Why, what is that to me more than to Richmond? For the selfsame heaven that frowns on me looks sadly upon him.
Enter Norfolk.
Arm, arm, my lord, the foe vaunts in the field.
Come, bustle, bustle, caparison my horse. Call up Lord Stanley, bid him bring his power. I will lead forth my soldiers to the plain, and thus my battle shall be ordered. My forward shall be drawn out all in length, consisting equally of horse and foot. Our archers shall be placed in the midst. John, Duke of Norfolk, Thomas, Earl of Surrey, shall have the leading of this foot and horse. They thus directed, we shall follow in the main battle, whose puissance on either side shall be well winged with our chiefest horse. This, and St. George de boot. What think'st thou, Norfolk?
A good direction, warlike sovereign. This found I on my tent this morning.
Giving a scroll. Reads.
Jockey of Norfolk, be not too bold, for Dickon thy master is bought and sold. A thing devised by the enemy. Go, gentlemen, every man unto his charge. Let not our babbling dreams affright our souls. Conscience is but a word that cowards use, devised at first to keep the strong in awe. Our strong arms be our conscience, swords our law. March on, join bravely, let us to it pell-mell. If not to heaven, then hand in hand to hell. What shall I say more than I have inferred? Remember whom you are to cope withal, a sort of vagabonds, rascals, and runaways, a scum of Bretons and base lackey peasants, whom their o'ercloyed country vomits forth to desperate adventures and assured destruction. You sleeping safe, they bring you to unrest. You having lands and blessed with beauteous wives, they would restrain the one, disdain the other. And who doth lead them? But a paltry fellow, long kept in Brittany at our mother's cost. A milksop, one that never in his life felt so much cold as overshoes in snow. Let's whip these stragglers o'er the seas again. Lash hence these overweening rags of France, these famished beggars weary of their lives, who, but for dreaming on this fond exploit for want of means, poor rats, had hanged themselves. If we be conquered, let men conquer us, and not these bastard Bretons, whom our fathers have in their own land beaten, bobbed, and thumped, and on record left them the heirs of shame. Shall these enjoy our lands, lie with our wives, ravish our daughters? Hark! I hear their drum.
Drum afar off.
Fight, gentlemen of England! Fight, bold yeomen! Draw, archers! Draw your arrows to the head! Spur your proud horses hard and ride in blood! Amaze the welkin with your broken staves!
Enter a messenger.
What says Lord Stanley? Will he bring his power?
My lord, he doth deny to come.
Off with his son George's head!
My lord, the enemy is past the marsh. After the battle, let George Stanley die.
A thousand hearts are great within my bosom. Advance our standards, set upon our foes. Our ancient word of courage, fair Saint George, inspire us with the spleen of fiery dragons. Upon them, victory sits on our helms!
Exeunt. Scene 4. Another part of the field. Alarum. Excursions. Enter Norfolk and forces. To him Catesby.
Rescue, my lord of Norfolk! Rescue, rescue! The king enacts more wonders than a man, daring and opposite to every danger. His horse is slain, and all on foot he fights, seeking for Richmond in the throat of death. Rescue, fair lord, or else the day is lost!
Alarum. Enter King Richard.
A horse! A horse! My kingdom for a horse!
Withdraw, my lord, I'll help you to a horse.
Slave, I have set my life upon a cast, and I will stand the hazard of the die. I think there be 6 Richmonds in the field. 5 have I slain today instead of him. A horse, a horse, my kingdom for a horse.
Exeunt. Scene 5. Another part of the field. Alarums. Enter, from opposite sides, King Richard and Richmond, and exeunt fighting. Retreat and flourish. Then re-enter Richmond, with Stanley bearing the crown, and divers other lords and forces.
God and your arms be praised, victorious friends. The day is ours. The bloody dog is dead.
Courageous Richmond, well hast thou acquit thee. Lo, here, this long unsurped royalty from the dead temples of this bloody wretch have I plucked off to grace thy brows withal. Wear it, enjoy it, and make much of it.
Great God of heaven, say amen to all. But tell me, is young George Stanley living?
He is, my lord, and safe in Leicester town, whither, if it please you, we may now withdraw us.
What men of name are slain on either side?
John, Duke of Norfolk, Walter, Lord Ferrers, Sir Richard Brakenbury, and Sir William Brandon.
Inter their bodies as becomes their births. Proclaim a pardon to the soldiers fled that in submission will return to us. And then, as we have taken the sacrament, we will unite the white rose and the red. Smile heaven upon this fair conjunction that long have frowned upon their enmity. What traitor hears me and says not amen? England hath long been mad and scarred herself. The brother blindly shed the brother's blood. The father rashly slaughtered his own son. The son, compelled, been butcher to the sire. All this divided York and Lancaster, divided in their dire division. Oh, now let Richmond and Elizabeth, the true succeeders of each royal house, by God's fair ordinance conjoin together, and let their heirs, God, if thy will be so, enrich the time to come with smooth-faced peace, with smiling plenty, and fair prosperous days. Abate the edge of traitors, gracious lord, that would reduce these bloody days again, and make poor England weep in streams of blood. Let them not live to taste this land's increase, that would with treason wound this fair land's peace. Now civil wounds are stopped, peace lives again. That she may long live here, God say, amen.
Exeunt. End of Act Five. End of Richard III by William Shakespeare.
Lowe's knows you've got a job to do, and we help get it done. With the MyLowe's Pro Rewards program, eligible members save more with volume discounts on qualifying orders through a quote of $2,000 or more. Join for free today. Lowe's. We help. You save. Offer can't be combined with any other discount, contract, and or special pricing. Exclusions, more terms, and restrictions apply. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.